We thank God for what he has not yet done. Can we all say praise the Lord? And two, we thank God for my wife tonight. We thank God for all you men. Why don't you give yourself a hand praise? Amen. Could be anything else tonight. Amen. But we thank God for those that are out in the house of prayer. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Which will be coming from Hebrews the 11th chapter. Hebrews the 11th chapter. And I know somebody said, we've been going this a whole lot. Amen. But we're just going to say what God leads us. Amen. The song says, lead us all the way. You know, God lead us part of the way. But how many want God to lead them all the way? Amen. So we just thank God for that. And for all that he's doing. Amen. So much happening all around us on a daily basis. Amen. Every day, you find out how frail life is. Amen. You can be the picture of health one day, and the next day you could be in eternity. So we just want to be so mindful, amen, that we make sure we're making the necessary preparation spiritually to be acceptable with the Lord. Amen. So we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Probably go up by heart. But you know, the Lord just keeps dealing with me about certain portions of this. And we have gone over it, but each time it seems like he highlights a different part of this. Amen? So if you don't just bear with me, let us start with verse 1. Now, faith is the what? The things hoped for, the evidence of things. Faith is what? The substance of things that we hope for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by how? Through faith. The world was framed by the word of God. The Bible says in Genesis, the Lord spoke and it was so. Amen. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a, not just in any kind of sacrifice, what kind of a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That's a testimony. You can be dead, but you still have a word. You're still leaving a testimony. Amen. Because you were righteous. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Please God.
How many tonight want to just please God? Well, I said, how many really want to please God? Amen. Some message that we're dealing with is, are you seeking to please God or to be accepted with man? Tonight, are we seeking to please God or to be accepted with man? You know, we live in a society where we are always forced to make decisions. Amen. And many times we make our decisions based on the consequences. The consequences are, if I don't do this to please this individual, what am I going to lose? Amen. And I don't like to reference this, but it goes with the message. It's not to highlight or to bring a negative view on the past, but it's to help bring out the essence of the message. Amen. I remember a time, my wife should remember, we took a group out of town. Amen. And we were given a specific command. Take certain ones out, but do not bring them back. Amen. And it's not important to know the whole details. It's just important to know the essence of what happened. Right. Amen. And it was a three and a half, four hour trip. And all the way there, I was praying. I was like, my spirit. You ever get somebody tell you to do something and your spirit just don't feel right? Yeah. I'm serious. You see, in your spirit, you don't feel right. Now, this person was in charge, and when we got there, I told my wife, I said, I don't know if I can really do that. You know we talked about? Amen. All right, well, it's more to that, but I don't want to bring too much attention. See, she's trying to tell my story. I can't let you. You got to tell it when you get up here. It's my story. All right. It was, because then it'd be too specific. All right. You got to tell me. All right, but what happened was we got, and it was a running shot, okay? But I told him, I said, my spirit won't let me do this. You know, I said, you know what? This is going to be one of the hardest decisions that I'll make. Because I got to make inside. Am I going to disobey an order from a superior? Or will I obey an order from superior and disobey God?
Amen.
So that was the decision. So this was a 3 or 4 day trip, 3 or 4 day event. So the whole time we were there, I couldn't even think about what we were really there for as much as I was bowing. Because I knew there would be consequences. You know, when your superior tells you to do something, you're what? Supposed to do it. So I was like, so the last day I said, you know what? My conscience won't let me do it, so I'm just going to deal with the repercussions. Right? I'm living by my conscience. And trust me, there were serious repercussions. But the end was, did I want to please God, or did I want to please man? We live in a day and age where we allow people to push us in a position where we disobey God.
Amen.
Because of the consequences. Yes, I lost a lot. My kids, those that were there with me, know it was kind of some embarrassing situations. Like, hey, what sin did you commit? I just thought I was doing the right thing. You know? I even got called to one of those powwows, you know, with the beef, with the heads of steak. Well, the head of states, which was the head of church, and said, why did you disobey a specific command? Now, I'm just telling you this not to highlight anything, but I'm saying there are times we have to make decisions to please God, even if we have to suffer loss. So why did you disobey a specific command? I said, because my conscience wouldn't allow me to do it.
All right.
moved.
Amen.
No longer could pray for their people.
Jesus.
Could no longer accept a be up front praying for the people at the inner church. And Justin even had a nerdy call me and said, Dad, what sin did you commit? You remember that? He's like, Dad, what did you do? Tanya's like, Dad, what did you do? Brooke was hiding, so she didn't know it. But you know, the thing is this. I said, you know what? I know I'm gonna, it's gonna look bad in the sight of man, but right in sight of God. So it was humiliating, it was embarrassing, but nevertheless, at the end, I was able to ask with a clear conscience before God. So the question is, when we're placed in a precarious situation and we have to make a decision, do we do it in honor to please God, or do we do it to be accepted by man? Let's go to Genesis, the 5th chapter. We're going to read just a little bit about Enoch. God took Enoch. Enoch never died. Two people never died. Who are they?
Enoch.
I guess if you don't want to die, you ain't got to start with E. Whose name is start with E? I mean, anybody here whose name starts with E? Oh, y'all died. Oh, Sister Elizabeth. All right. You ain't got a chance. If your name starts with E, you got a chance on. Oh, I'm only kidding. They have a special place with God. Yeah, I'm talking no E for it. You messed me up, Sister. Messed me up, all right? But Enoch and Elijah never died. God took them. Amen. But let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read something about Enoch. All right. Verse 24 reads, Enoch walked with, this walking, Enoch walked in a way that was pleasing to God. Enoch had a testimony, not with man, but with God, right? His testimony was not with man, but was with God. And because the Bible said he walked with God, he was not, for God
took him.
It don't mean just, but I go to church all the time. It means no, not just coming to church, but to have a righteous relationship with God. A righteous relationship with God is one that is pleasing in his sight. So the question that we want to address tonight, who are we seeking to please? Amen. God or man? Even if it's a matter of your spouse asking you to do something that's contrary to God, and you know how men have that tendency to say, well, I'm a head of the house. Right? And you ought to be in subjection. Ladies, y'all know what he said. At least amen. I guess maybe y'all ain't this. Alright, but you know how I said, I'm a head of the house, I'm in subjection. If I say do it, you ought to do it. Not if it's not to please God. If it's in objection to the word of God, don't you do it. No matter how bad an individual is met with you, don't do it. Amen. Because we ought to make a stand for God. Moses asked, who's
on the Lord's
side? Amen. So we ought to make our stand for God. So Enoch had this testimony that he
pleased God.
That means he walked in a way that was not just pleasing, but well pleasing to God. So tonight, who are we seeking to please? Amen. Are we trying to be accepted by God or by man? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to read about the Apostle Paul. Paul was in himself had a great testimony. Amen. Because Paul, and we're going to read a little about Paul in Philippians chapter 3 after this. Paul had to make choices. Paul had to make a decision. Am I going to be living to be accepted by the religious hierarchy of the day? Or do I I'm on the walk to please God. And that's so important today. Number one, we should always do what pleases God. So Galatians 1 verse 10 reads, and this is Paul. He said, for do I now? Do I what? Persuade men or? This, instead of putting Paul, put you in, put your name in there. Do I now persuade men or do I persuade God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I'm not a servant of Christ. So tonight, who are we seeking to please? Who are we seeking to be accepted by? God or man? Amen. Now we all know the story of Paul. Paul was high up. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. With that being said, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul, he asked the question. He said, now do I seek to please God or do I seek to please man? Don't allow anyone, even if it's me, to make you do anything that God tells you not to do. The reason that so many people are in such poor spiritual state of mind today is because they're doing things that they know is contrary to God's word and his conscience. But they're doing it because they don't want to suffer the consequences of embarrassment or shame for making a stand for God. If you stand for God, you will never be ashamed. If you stand for God, no matter how bad it looks, God will fix it after a while. So many times, as he told Israel, God said, now I allowed you to be in that quandary. I allowed you to be in a position to make a choice for one reason. He said, because I wanted to know what was in your heart. Right? If we have to make a choice for God or for man, it should be so easy to do it with God. We should never get caught at a point where we have to struggle with what do I do? Do I seek to please men or do I seek to please God? If I seek to please men, then guess what? I'm not a servant of Christ. But if I seek to please God, I am a servant of Christ. Well, Philippians 3, we're going to start in verse 4, says, Paul, now he said, who is he trying to please? God. He said, I'm not seeking to please any man. Verse 4 reads, though I might also have confidence. Paul said, I got a resume behind my name. I am somebody. In the religious world, I'm somebody. Amen. So he says, if any other man think that he had well, he might trust in the flesh. Paul said, I'm more. When it comes to fleshly accomplishments, there's no one that's on my level. He said, I what? More. There's no one that's on the same level as me when it comes to religious stuff. But there's a difference between being religious and being godly. Because witches are religious. Because they got it. But they are not God. So Paul said there's a difference between being religious and being God. Amen. A whole lot of people will talk God, but their testimony does not back up their talk. Amen. Their walk is not in line with their talk. So in verse 5 says, now this is Paul's testimony. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I am a Hebrew of. Paul was somebody. He was a religious leader. Amen. He was the one that was persecuting anything that called on the name of Jesus. Right? He had got permission from the chief priest to bind man, woman, or child, anything that was doing Jesus. So Paul was somebody. Who Paul was, even when the Lord sent Ananias to pray for Paul, Saul, he said, hey, Lord, don't you know who this is? He had a reputation. the religious world, but not in the godly world. Amen? As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Amen. That's a testimony. In the what world? The religious world. But not in the... So you can be religious and not God. Amen? You can follow a religion, but you don't have to be God. So Paul says, but what things were? Everything that I could have gained in the religious world, he said, I counted them lost. You know what he said? He said, I want to be more acceptable with God than with even the religious leaders. Amen. He said, I want to be more acceptable. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count. Paul said, when it comes to God, there is no parallel. There is no equal. There's nothing that's even close. He said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the for whom I have suffered the loss of, and do count them but my main goal is I want to win Christ. Paul is saying, I want to be acceptable and pleasing to God, even if it's at the stake, at the cost, the case of losing out with men. Paul had a testimony. His testimony wasn't, I'm strong today and I'll be tomorrow. Paul's testimony wasn't, I'm wishy-washy. But Paul had purpose in his heart, I'm going to make a stand for God. Now let's go to Acts 21. We're just following Paul for a few minutes and his testimony. In every book that Paul wrote, and we're going to go to Colossians, Paul always said he does the things that is pleasing or either well-pleasing in the sight of who? Tonight, amen. And this is something that only we can answer. Do we do things that are pleasing in the sight of God, to please ourselves, to please others? What motivates us? What drives us? Amen. Who do we seek to please? Acts 21 and verse 8. And we still stand with Paul. He said he counted what?
All things.
And we're going to find out, he said, not even my own life is important to me. Because I have one desire, and that is to win Christ. Verse 8 reads, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And we, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hand and feet, and said, thus says the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Which means he's going to be tortured. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. But if you read in the, let's go here. We don't want to go ahead of ourselves. We just stay right here, right? We don't want to go ahead. We definitely don't want to start saying something we don't finish. Amen. All right, so, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place, we saw him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I'm not ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. In the previous chapter, chapter 20, it says that the Holy Ghost has witnessed unto me that bonds and afflictions abide me. He said, but nevertheless, none of these things move me. Amen. He said, I don't care somebody in church now.
Somebody in church.
All right, y'all, come on, just go out. Y'all ain't great your time. Look at me. skip down to verse 22. We can read the other stuff, but no, let's go on. We got to read something that's there. You know, somebody said, I don't want to hear that. How many want to be saved? Well, the good thing about being saved is this is not your spiritual buffet. You ever go to a buffet, you pick and choose what you want? And then if you're really wasteful, you pick and choose and don't like it and throw it out.
Jesus.
My grandkids, they gonna eat with me, they gonna be in trouble. Cause I tell them, if you ain't gonna eat it, don't get it. If you don't know, right? If you don't know if you like it, then just get a little bit. Cause if you get a lot and don't like it, you gonna still eat it. Unless you put it on a napkin like they often do at night, and I see them. I see him put it on a napkin and hide it. I say, I'm not that blind. I know how much you go back. That mountain under that napkin in a bunch of paper. That's that food that you got that you didn't know if you liked and didn't eat it. Well, the Bible is not a spiritual buffet. You cannot pick and choose and then get started and say, I don't like this and change. You got to go all the way to the bottom. You can't change it. Amen. So Paul said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is. It's right in the listen, as long as it's in the Lord, do it. Man said that last week without the Lord, don't do it. Right? Seriously. As long as it's in the Lord, do it. Well, God, the Bible said I have to be in submission to my own husband, not to be being disobedient to God. So we have to keep everything in its proper perspective. Amen. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not. All the ladies read that. Boy, they didn't read nothing else. They sure read that. Right? So you got to love them and you can't be. Well, you don't know what they did. As you know, this is not a spiritual buffet. Whatever they did, you still cannot be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents and all things, for this is well-pleasing in the right. So you want to, who wants to be well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord? Then you got to obey the Lord in all things. Amen. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discipline them. Do what you have to do, but do it in love so they don't get discouraged. This is God's word. Amen. Servants, obey in your masters according to the. Wait a minute. You mean I got to obey a fleshly master? As long as they're not making you sin, the answer is yes. Right? Your master according to the flesh, not with. As so when you do something just for somebody to see you, it's only pleasing who?
Man.
Well, I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it because you're looking at me. He said, when it comes to God, you can't do it without service as men pleasers, but as single as a part doing what? Fearing God. And whatsoever you do it. Do it with all your heart as unto men. As unto who? And?
God.
So who are we seeking to please tonight? We got to please God. Right? Now, don't do it just for somebody's boss. You know, a lot of people are holy, sanctified, filled with all those words for Jesus while somebody's watching. I just wonder how we do when nobody's watching. But I heard the Bible said, God that keepeth Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps. So if God is keeping Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps, he means he's always
watching.
So you can't just do it as a man pleaser when people are watching you, but you have to do it in sickness as long as a servant of God, doing that which pleases him. Amen. Now we're just trying to decide, how are we walking? Amen. You know, God knows. But you cannot be acceptable of God if you're not walking in a way that is what? Well pleasing to Him. Knowing, verse 24, so knowing that of the Lord you shall receive. What do you get your reward for, man or from God? Man will give you a temporary reward, but that'll pass away. But when God rewards you, hallelujah, can't nobody take it away. When God rewards you, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. Listen, serve God. Amen. You know, all this, we live in a day and age where peer pressure and all this other stuff. Serve God. Amen. When nobody's watching you, still
serve God.
Serve God. Amen. I don't know if I ever told this story. I'm going to tell this. Can I tell this? This is when I was a kid in school. Yes, that was a good story. I'll tell that story because I ain't been no man. But when we were in school, I ain't remember the person's name. That's bad. But we had a kid in school. He was really, 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 really slow. You know, he was mentally challenged. And everybody used to take advantage of it. So he was kind of big as me. We were both kind of big. But one day, they were taking advantage of him. I always tried to help him and protect him. You know, because I didn't believe in taking advantage of anybody. Because I think that's wrong. I mean, I don't care who it is. Mentally challenged. Whatever the situation is, a person is a person, and we ought to respect everybody. So they were taking advantage of him, and because they were taking advantage of him, because I was always close to trying to help him, he turned on me. I'm like, wait a minute. I can't even remember his name. That's how heavy it is. That was like 5 or 6 years ago, right? Isn't that why I was in school like 5 or 6 years ago? I guess I'm going back a few years later. I'm 40. I'm 40 years old. I'm 42 years old. I still remember his name. I'm like, wait a minute. You turning on me and I protect you all the time? I was so mad. I said, no, I'm a. Then I thought about it. I said, no, I'm going to keep my hair on my head. I just let him do it. You know, I just let him. I was amazed. I always protected this guy, and the guy turned on me. But you know what? I was not going to take advantage of the fact that he was mentally challenged. How many of us like to take advantage of situations? And it's wrong. If I had taken advantage of him, I would have had to go back and apologize to him across my conscience. The one thing my mother always told us to do is live by your conscience. Right? Even when I got called to my power meeting, I said, what you don't realize, my mother didn't raise me that way.
Amen.
Your mother, we ain't talking about your mother. He said, you're supposed to do what I do. No. My mother said, I got to live by my conscience.
All right.
How many of us have done things just in direct violations of our conscience and pleasing God because of somebody else? Don't let anybody else cause you to lose out to God. Verse 25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall seek receive for the wrong which he had. And elder, pastor, look God, they ain't no respected person. So what God said to one, he says to all. I heard a preacher say, God does not have one set of rules for the saints and another set of rules for church, pastors, elders, and leaders. His rules are all for one. Now let's go to Acts chapter 4. We get to the position where we stop making decisions based on the consequences. Consequences mean you want to lose some stuff. You got to do what's right for God regardless of the loss. Right. Even if you have to lose $50,000, make that decision. Don't let somebody hold a carrot. How many of y'all feel like a dummy? Ain't y'all dummies? Ain't y'all a dummy? You know how they do with the dummy, right? They put the carrot in front of the dummy. That's what I mean. Don't go all crazy. Like, you know, ain't none of us no dummies, right? Dylan put the can in front of the donkey and lost the can, was moving the donkey. Don't let no one put no can in front of you. You're not a donkey. So we had one of those situations. Either we can stand wrong, we can somebody say, ouch. Or you need to lose $50,000. This ain't no lie, this is the truth. So what do you do? Stand wrong or lose $50,000? What do you do? I work too hard for that. Seriously, what are you doing? I'm gonna lose $50,000, or I can see it wrong. What would you do? What do we do? Lost $50,000. Walk away from it. You know why? Because it was an important time when we had to do what was right in the eyes of God. You know what? We may have lost it, but it's just like the Lord told the king of Judah when he went to Israel's behalf. He said, I am not with the ungodly. He said, well, what about the money that we've already paid? He said, whatever you pay, God needs to give you that and much more. If you make a stand for God, God can give you much more. We're living in a society where it's always an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You did me, I'm going to get you back. Right? But then they slap you on one cheek and you can't wait to slap back. I heard Jesus say, if they slap you on one cheek,
turn
them. He said, yeah, that was in the Bible. No, that's the church. We're not supposed to be retaliatory. We're not supposed to take vengeance. But the Bible said, vengeance is mine, said
the Lord.
Vengeance is mine,
said
the Lord. He said, but I will repay. We need to stop being governed by man's laws and do it by God. So Acts 4:14, and let me get that right because I didn't put it out. Acts 4:14. This is the disciples, Peter, James, and John, after they had healed the man and been crippled for all these years, and instead of people reveling in it, they got upset. Amen. Actually, let's go to verse 11 first. Is it an Nazarene man which was healed, held Peter and John? All the people ran together unto them in the port that is called Solomon's, greatly. Well, so, hey, what happens? A miracle. The people are watching the miracle. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why walk ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by all kind of holiness we may have made this man to walk? And they said, the God of Abraham, and goes on, but let's just skip down. Let's skip down a little further, all right? Let's go to verse, I don't want to read all this, but it just lets you know who the blind man was and what God had done for him, amen? Paul, they go along, they said, they tried to forbid them from preaching in his name. Amen. And they said, whether it's right in the sight of God, wrong chapter, that's the
problem. Number 3.
How many other times I said 4 and somebody should be helping out? I don't know. Y'all, I figure out where I'm at too. All right, 14. Well, anyway, you got that. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a miracle. If a miracle takes place, why are you not doing anything, right? They tell me miracle took place, but they still want to have consequences. Amen. A notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest. Everybody can see and know this. It was the ruler, and we cannot even deny it. But let it spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach Don't you teach in that day. They said, and miracles is all this stuff is taking place, but don't teach in it in his name. Amen. It says, but who? Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than? Don't hearken to anybody more than unto God. He may say what? You just said whether you think is right. Amen. I just want to do what's right in the sight of God. He said, judge ye. Amen. But he said, for what? But we cannot speak the things which we have. We got to do what's right in the eyes of God. Right? So people can threaten you. They can do things. But how many are going to allow the threat to cause us to disobey God? Amen. Now let's go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 25. Now we're dealing with the apostles and they're dealing with the religious leaders. So you gotta watch those religious people. Because religious people will make you disobey God and won't even think twice about it. But what's in your heart? What decision are you going to make? Amen. 5:25 read. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men who were put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain of the officers and brought them without. You know, that's a bad situation. You know you're wrong. Brought them without violence because they what? That's a bad situation. You mess with somebody and you're so scared you won't even do it wrong. Because you know they're right. But don't watch the religious people that mess you up. Lest they should have been. So these sneaky devils tried to do it in a conniving way. Because they didn't want the people to stone them because of what God was doing in the midst, all right? That they should have been stoned. And when they had called them, they sent them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we? That's religious people. Did we tell you you can't be doing that? Amen. Straightly command you that you should not teach in this name. And behold, ye have filled the ruler with your doctrine and intend to bring this man blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, you ought to obey who? Rather than men. How many of us really believe it in our hearts? That we ought to obey God rather than that man. Amen. And we're just laying out. How many got the gist? We got to do what's right in the sight of who? We got to do what's right in the sight of God. Now let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. It's amazing when people can see and know and still try to get you to do the wrong thing. They feared the people lest they should be stoned. They feared the people lest they should be stoned, and they were determined to do what they wanted to do. But the apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Don't allow anyone to make you to go against God, and you know God, what God is telling you. The good thing about having the Spirit of God is that when you go wrong, God will always let you know. And I read a story a long time ago. This was a preacher talking. He said, listen, anybody ever sin, when you sin the first time, it's like, you just know you're disappointing God. You let God down. But the thing about sin is the first time it grieves you. But the more you do it, the easier it is to do it. When you mess up the first time, it grieves you. It burdens you. If you have a repentant heart, you will change. But if it's in you, each time you do it, it gets easier to do it. Because we are no longer, Actually, let me go there. Go to Romans chapter 6. I'll show you why it's easier to do. Can we go ahead and then we come back to John? We'll go to John 12. Go to Romans chapter 6. You ever ask me, like, man, why do I keep doing the same thing wrong over and over and over again? You ever ask that? Do you ever wonder why people will do the same thing over and over and over again? Amen. Let's go, we're going to go to verse, let's start at verse 11.
All right, now.
If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're dead to sin. Sin has no reign over you. But what happens is, when you get baptized and get saved, you're free from sin and the guilt of sin and the sin conscience. But once you start messing with sin and start tolerating sin or wrong, it's easier to sin, all right? Verse 11. Y'all don't get quiet on me when we talk about sin, because that'll mess me up. That'll mess me up. Amen. Verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be to sin, but alive. So if you're sinning, you're not alive unto God. We're dead to what? Sin. Sin is going against God. Doing wrong is sin. Amen. You're unto God. Verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your life. Listen, I messed up. Don't continue in it. Don't let it reign in your bodies. That ye should obey. What happens when you sin too much? Sin begins to be your master. Sin begins to control you. Sin tells you what to do, so then you do what? Obey it and be lost thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. What? Unrighteousness is unto sin. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So if you're unrighteous, it's unto sin. If you're righteous, it's unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace. God, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto. So if you sin, you're going to die. Or obedience unto righteousness. But God be faithful that ye were. If you don't sin, ye what? Were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. So we are not to be a servant of sin, because he to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, that is now your master. So we have to make a right decision in our hearts. Right? Don't say, listen, you did wrong to me, I'm going to do wrong to you. Do what's right in the eyes of who? God. So now let's go to John. We're closing John 12. Even if I have no scriptures, my time is up. I will not go to them tonight. And I can't go to them on Sunday either because I ain't preaching, so I don't know. John 12 and verse 37. Amen. In essence, who are we obeying? Are we obeying sin or are we obeying God? If you obey sin, then you are the servant of sin. I got to go to one other verse, Psalm 32, I finished, okay? Let's go here. So 37 said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, listen, we see all that he done, that God has done, but we still don't believe that the saying of Isaiah the prophet can believe our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had, when you see and you know and you don't do right, you become blind. Amen. And when you become blind, go, hold this, it's going to come back. I ain't supposed to go here, bro. I'm going to go anyway. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I think it's verse 4 and 3. Alright. So, you become what? Blind. What blinds our eyes? Right? I think this was 2 and hold on. When you know the truth and you don't yield to the truth and you don't follow God, and whom the God of
this world.
Who's that? Who's God of this world? The devil, right? The God of this world is what? Blind of the mind of them that he blinds. Well, why are they blind? Because they are obeying the God of this world. All right, now let's go back to John. All right, this is why they eyes were blind. In verse 40, it said, and harden their heart that they should not. We're not talking about natural, we're talking about spiritual. They could not see. Why? Because even though they were looking, they were blind. Well, what blinded them? The God of this world. Well, why did they get blind? Because of unbelief. That's why we have to believe God. Amen? And it says, no, understand with their heart and be. And I should. So when you can see, God can help you. But when you're blind, people can talk all they want. You can't be helped because you won't surrender. They think, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him, nevertheless, wait a minute, how are you going to see all this and say nevertheless? After you see all God did, but still, you're persistent in doing things your way. Nevertheless, among the chief ruler, also many believed on him. But they, because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him because of the constant blessings. Wait a minute. You know the truth. You know it's right. But you can't do what's right because you're afraid of what you might lose. You never lose with God. Amen. You never lose with God. He said, but the biggest problem is for they love the praise of man more than God. God has to be number one. I have 3 minutes. Let's go to Psalms 32. It's starting in verse 1. I don't know where we are or how we came in, but we don't have to leave the same way we came in. Amen. We don't have to allow sin to dominate and reign in our bodies. Because whoever you give yourself service to obey, that is your master. Amen, but it's time for a change. The Bible says, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression means to go against God. If you know that you haven't been doing right, that's a transgression. The blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit that is. There are a whole lot of people that come to church, but they're really not coming for the right reason. God means deception. You know another word for deception is hypocrite. They come to church, but they're God because they don't come for the right reasons. Right? He said, and who they is, no deception. Not trying to fool, not trying to deceive anyone. Amen. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My marshes turned into the drought of summer. He says, I knew I was wrong, but I couldn't say anything. I just wouldn't get it right. So guess what? This stuff just, day and night, God worked on me, trying to get my attention. Amen? Can y'all say this? Ouch or something. Come on. He said, I lost my. He couldn't get help. finally got it right. I lost my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Take a pause and think about that. When I got it right, he forgave me. For this shall everyone that is of godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Let's go down to verse 8. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou and I will guide thee with mine. And there's many more scriptures, but I think we have enough. It's time to be real. The only one that has heaven and hell to put us in is who? The only one that has heaven and hell to put us in is God. Jesus said, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both the body and soul. Yeah, as we all said. Who are we seeking to please tonight? Are we trying to be accepted by man and not by God? God sees us when no one else sees us. God hears us when no one else hears us. The Bible says there is no secret thing that can be holden from God. Paul writes, I believe it's in Romans chapter 2, around verse 16. He says, as the elders and ministers come forward, he said that God is going to judge mankind by the gospel. He's going to judge mankind by the gospel, he said, but not just mankind, but every secret thing. Secret things are stuff people you don't think people know. God's going to judge that. It's so important tonight. Can we just all agree with one accord? Let's do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. No matter what person we have to let down, let us do what's right inside of God. Amen.